Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 20th. Joining us this morning, Arcata City Manager. No, this was not planned for this day. Karen Diemer.
Good morning. Happy April 20th.
Yes. I found it wry. How's that for
That's
a word
good.
You haven't heard since
yeah.
the 40s, huh? Not associated with an alcoholic beverage.
Right.
That one of the stories in the hourly news this morning was talking about, or it wasn't hourly, it was the business reports we have. It said that Oregon has got over 1 million pounds of processed marijuana available for recreational that are surplus.
Wow.
Welcome to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome to free market, huh?
Yeah, well, it is something that I think we're all starting to experience indirectly. Is this thing ain't panning out the way that people thought. This is the whole legalization, and boy, Humboldt County's going to get all this influx of money, and all the budgets are going to be fluffy, and everybody's going to be smiling, and all the retail shops are going to be open, and we're going to see this all this tourism coming. Not so much so anymore.
Well, I think it's a little early to tell, actually. I mean, the businesses that have established up in Arcata on the manufacturing side, they got started early. That was the intent. Humboldt County tried to get a little ahead of the curve and get our businesses established so that they were ready to get state licensing. And that, for Humboldt County, bore out to be pretty true. We got a good bulk of the initial licenses coming out of the state because our businesses were ready. What our businesses in Arcata have shared with me is that prior to the state law coming into place, they had about twice as many customers in the medical world, in the dispensary world throughout California, but because state licensure has taken a period of time, they've lost a considerable amount of their customers, but they're coming back week by week as those licenses get established in the other areas outside of Humboldt County. So, I mean, I think the ebb and flow was probably predicted by many that have actually been in this business and working towards being legitimate, you know, and complying with the law. I think
you use the L word.
Yeah.
You talk to the real estate guys, and property values are plummeting. I mean, I think that's a fair word. The market
property
is very
values,
soft
well,
for the properties that could be grown.
Yeah, yeah. Residential
potential.
Properties are not plummeting in Arcata for sure.
No, not until we start building homes.
Right, but those properties in the outlying areas, at least in the real estate, you know, friends that I have, they had ballooned to such a bubble. With the anticipation that I don't think that was an accurate reflection of what our market was. So the plummeting,
True.
I think...
Relative this time last year,
yeah.
It's... I talked to a buddy who was in the real estate arena, and he'd indicated that some of these guys have got over 100 properties listed and only two or three people interested in buying.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the middle of the Depression, that wasn't
right.
the case, you know, 5-6 years ago. So that has changed. I'll be Eureka-centric just for a moment.
Sure.
A lot of retail space is way open, and a lot of the industrial space that was anticipated to be used is way open also. I've asked the county folks this. I think we've probably touched on it a couple of times. Did you guys budget anything in anticipation of this additional revenue that might be coming down the pipeline?
We haven't. No, Arcata didn't budget for. I mean, but we also didn't impose a tax. So we did at mid-year. You know, we saw a huge influx of permits coming in right as the state permitting started in January. So at mid-year, we actually did have an uptick of about $150,000 in permit fees that we had brought in to add to this year's budget. But we'll continue to be conservative. The way that we have priced our cannabis, you know, expenses is all through their permits and the cost for us to implement and enforce those permits. So it's a known number, so we should be able to budget that pretty accurately versus, you know, anticipating square footage of cultivation space or whatever the tax structure in some of the other communities are.
What have you experienced? Or what has the city experienced, I guess, is more accurate, with the at-home grows? Have those increased? Have those decreased? Are they is it static? You know, I don't know even how many plants you can grow. Was it two or three or something like that in the backyard?
Six. You can,
okay.
Each person can grow six.
Okay. Are you seeing more of those, less of those? Do those have to be registered with the city?
We don't have a registration process. There are cities that for home cultivations of just your personal use are asking for $100, but the city of Arcata doesn't have that.
Or just to say yes.
Yes, we're doing it. Yeah, no, we don't have that. What the city has and has had in place for many years now is our excessive electricity use tax. And that's,
you know, six plants isn't going to trigger that, is it?
Six plants shouldn't trigger that.
Particularly if it's outdoors.
Well, yeah, certainly if it's outdoors. you should not be using electricity to grow outdoors. So we just figured...
Oh!
Well, I mean, you, I suppose, could if you were doing a ventilated system outside, you know, in a greenhouse. But we don't expect to see, you know, huge increases there. We just haven't gotten complaints of it. We watch our what we used to call the traditional grow house, and we still have about 25 to 30.
The curtains drawn and the 12-inch grass in the front, yeah.
So we still have about 25, 30 meters in Arcata that trigger that excessive electricity use tax every month. We don't get a list of what those addresses are, but we have seen a steady decline of, you know, 2 to 3 a month, and they just continue to sort of peter out. So we do think that the legalization and having industrial space to cultivate cannabis is going to probably eliminate those final larger grow houses in Arcata as well.
And what a relief that would be.
Well, it's nice to get the housing for the neighborhoods and to bring back housing stock and all of those things.
All right, that's enough of that. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19. When we come back, we'll get into all the stuff that everybody's tuning in to hear about.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, did Tom Chapman's resignation come as a surprise, or was that something that you had been kind of in the works for a little bit and the transition went out? It was smooth, not abrupt.
Yeah.
As much as you can share,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, it did not feel abrupt, I guess, to me. Chief Chapman and I had been talking for some period of time about what felt like an appropriate departure period. He saw that it was time for the department to transition. You know, he had taken on a lot of pretty heavy initiatives as a chief, from implementing a ton of new technology, from vehicle cameras to body-worn cameras, all of our in-car technology and CAD, all of their computerized technology. He also really had pushed our CIT, or critical incident response, handling mental health crisis in the fields, fair and impartial policing training for his staff, in addition to really weathering some tough budget years and having to go back and really fight to restore our juvenile diversion programs and school resource officers. So he had taken on a lot, and there just becomes, I think, a point in a chief's career where he recognized it was time for somebody to come in and transition the department to the next stage. So it was a piece that he and I had been talking about. It's obviously been a hard year for the police department in Arcata. And so in looking at dates, you know, ranging from, I'd say, the day that he left and, you know, out a few months, I think came to the conclusion that the transition was going to best be held with him not physically being there, but certainly a phone call away if we need something.
So he's still in the neighborhood, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was it an extraordinary year, or was it a year that just was another fatiguing year?
I would say,
There's the glide down of challenge, and then there's the one or two big spikes, events that just drain all energy.
Yeah. And I think we had both this last 18 months, really. We obviously have the very difficult and complicated homicide of David Josiah Lawson that we've been, you know, working through for the last year. We have a lot of external forces that have been active on that.
When you say external,
I just say, you know, in terms of sort of the media this week, we've had an outside investigator that came in and helped that, you know, had really great things to say about the investigation to a certain point, but then had frustration with the police department based on some loss of trust when our investigative team just felt like he wasn't maintaining his lines of confidentiality for the case.
The FBI guy?
Yeah. And so they just had an erosion of trust that then ended up, you know, resulting.
So it's not just at the federal level?
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he's retired, so I should say.
Okay, fine.
And I, you know, I think everyone has a best interest, and obviously everybody involved in the case just wants to see it solved. I'm not making any accusations other than that. But
do you think it's going to be something like the Karen Mitchell case was for Eureka? Everybody kind of has a pretty good sense, but it doesn't come to conclusion.
We are not there yet.
It hasn't been nearly as long.
We just are still in a very active investigative stage. We have active leads. We have an active strategy. It's still moving forward. So, no, I can't say we're at all at that stage in the investigation. This is not a wrapped-up case yet, obviously, but it's also not a case that we've run out of leads and activities to move on.
Is the city putting more resources than normal into the police department for this one particular situation to try to get resolution?
Yeah, we have. We haven't. We have tried. It has been hard to find additional resources to bring to the table. So it is something that we're looking at with the transition of chief. We're looking at interim chiefs that might have some background and capability to bring additional resources to the table associated specifically with this case. But when you say, was it an extraordinary year or was it just sort of another year of hard fatigue? I think for Arcata, we've had a little bit of both. We've had two really extraordinary circumstances, one being the David Josiah Lawson investigation, and the second being our officer-involved shooting that was on the plaza where, you know, university police officer was actually shot in the line of duty on the Arcata Plaza in our town. And
Is that an Arcata event or is that a Humboldt State event?
It's an Arcata event. I mean, they were mutual aid for us on the plaza, and we're so thankful for the partnership we have with Humboldt State as the students, you know, many of them are students that funnel out of the bars, but it creates quite a scene at bar time, you know, on the plaza. So then when you talk about what sort of the, you know, the standard difficulty for the year, one of the big areas that we have been really battling with as a community has been the ongoing drug dealing on the plaza. So that has been another area where they've been trying to put additional resources, and whenever we can
get. But now that one's not new. That's almost a time-honored tradition.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that might be true.
Yeah,
but
or at least 40 or 50 years tradition.
Yeah. But I think for every generation it feels new, and for every generation it feels different. And the more extreme drug dealing the results of the intoxication that are on the plaza, what we've seen,
So the inebriation or the use on the plaza,
harder drugs.
Not the actual transaction, but
both.
The consumption of.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so as a result of that, we've had the drug task force working for over 10 months on an investigation on the plaza. And when we come back, we could talk about the results of that.
You got a little excited a little early there.
Oh!
You know, Winston's got the jingle. He can take it. He can take it out. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this very morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese Company. Karen, I suppose, well, you wanted to continue with your thought before the break.
Well, just
that you took a little early.
Yeah. That's what happens when the sponge gets thrown around
right.
Here in the studio.
Sponge wars.
Yeah. Just commenting on, we've had, you know, one of the biggest concerns and issues facing Arcata has been the safety around the plaza. And so the Humboldt County Drug Task Force, in cooperation with Alcohol Beverage Control, the ABC folks, have been really investigating for the last 10 months the question of, well, where is all this drug dealing coming from on the plaza? And everything is alleged at this point, so, you know, we want innocent until proven guilty. But they ended up this week coming in and serving notice on two liquor establishments in Arcata. And the allegations are very significant drug transactions going in and out of those two establishments. So,
serious drugs?
Both. Lots of serious drug transactions going in
lots
and out.
Lots and.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, according to the complaint from ABC, that there was full house knowledge of the owners of those operations.
Well, then it's game on.
Understanding, either participating and or understanding that it was happening within their establishment. So we'll see. That's all just alleged. But
so what is the, not that you're an ace in ABC, but
right.
I bet you're getting,
I'm starting
you're getting to learn your alphabet here really quick. Yeah. What is the I would suggest that there's probably three different levels here. Underage, booze, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Illegal drugs, totally a different, separated thing.
Right.
Employees, okay, yeah, you're supposed to train. I've had a couple buddies whose employees didn't follow the protocol, mm-hmm. and they got the opportunity to pay for that and retrain them. But if the boss, if the owner is doing it,
yeah.
That's a whole, I mean, you got a nice, it's kind of like 3D chess. You got all kinds of things working on at this one. What is the city's involvement, or are you just kind of like a interested bystander at this point?
Yeah, it ultimately comes down to Alcohol Beverage Control in regards to the alcohol license associated with the establishment. But my understanding is that there starts a two-week time frame with which both sides sort of present their case, and that ABC will render a recommendation in regards to, you know, fines, license suspension, or full revocation.
Does it go into the courtroom setting? Or is this more just like, you know, appealing to the Planning Commission, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I think ultimately the owner has, you know, court options should they choose to go that route, you know, based on ABC's decision. But ABC has a lengthy process. You know, if they really go as far as, if the allegations are sustained through ABC's review of it and they recommend revocation, then there's a period of time, I believe, the owner has the right to sell those, try to sell those licenses, not specific to that establishment or that location again, but within either if it's the county area or a wider area. So they've got different processes that they put into place. But, you know, we're not quite there yet. I mean,
understood.
At a minimum, though, they arrested three employees and 12 different individuals associated with drug activity in and out of those establishments. So that in and of itself was certainly contributing to, you know, the impacts that our community is feeling on the plaza. So
One question that I had folks ask and heard being discussed was, are those the only two? Are there others?
Oh, within the establishments there.
Kind of adding into this whole fervor that's been going on around the plaza, kind of at a heightened level for the last few years.
You know, I'll say the task force's initial was just to look at where is all the drug dealing happening on the plaza, and this is what they narrowed down to. So, you know, I can't speak specific to the other locations, but, you know, my gut tells me if they were heavy contributors, they would have been included in, you know, this round of investigation. But we'll continue to look for other sources, because it is really in the top one or two critical shifts that our community wants to see. The desire for Arcata Plaza is no drug dealing happens on the plaza. Seems like a very reasonable expectation for our community to have. Really thankful that we have a drug task force and agents in Arcata that are willing to commit the time to work on that, make that happen.
What are Eureka experience with some issues is you push it from one, it goes somewhere else. You know, like trying to squeeze mercury in your
hand. Right.
Is it the plaza, or is it try to reduce the amount of drug dealing? Thank you very much.
Sure, we don't want to see drug dealing in our community.
Go over to the ballpark.
Yeah,
or
we
something.
Don't want to see it anywhere. Yeah. But the call, you know, when we just look at the data on our policing, the calls for service to the plaza already is such a huge percentage of our overall call volume, and then the experience that...
Which has always kind of stunned me because, a block away from the police
right,
department?
You're just right there.
Come on, guys. Yeah. We can't even put a substation there. We're too close. You know, we have to park our cars there to go to work. I mean, it just has always been kind of an intriguing concept, except that it's kind of been culturally permitted over the years and decades, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own.
Yeah, and it's a pretty large space, and it's easy to hide these kind of behaviors. You know, officers come out, and the cigarettes and the pipes and everything just get tucked away, and then when they leave, everything comes back out again. So,
but if there was peer pressure.
Yeah, right. As we see, I mean, the positive peer pressure is something like the farmer's market on Saturday when there's just so many people, you know, participating in a joyous event on the plaza that behavior certainly doesn't come out.
Joyous.
That's my word of Friday.
Oh.
Rye and joyous.
We'll go with that one. Joyous. Yeah. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, considering some of the findings that ABC is alleging that they found with some of the establishments on the plaza, does the city have any code enforcement, any thing that you do independent? Spot checking for sales tax, spot checking for bed tax, spot checking for whatever it might happen to be. Is the staff large enough to be able to accommodate somebody just to go around it? Almost like an ombudsman for the businesses. Mm-hmm. Sure, there's the enforcement
part. I'm not sure that they'd feel like that was ombudsman.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a cop, right?
Yeah.
You know, they have a gun. If you're doing something wrong, yeah, you get a little excited. If you're not doing anything wrong, you might buy
welcome
him a sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is what you're doing. And
We don't tend to do spot checks. We do tend to do audits. We have a company that monitors sales tax, and so we're looking for trends and we're looking for outliers in that regards. And normally it's not trying to find somebody who's just shielding us from sales tax, but sales tax actually can be complicated as to who gets what part of the pot, and so they're looking to make sure that things are allocated correctly. We also did a large audit on the bed tax this last year because the community was concerned about making sure that we were capturing all the bed tax from the short-stay rental, the vacation rental by owner kind of concept, Airbnb. So we do them in chunks. We don't have staff that necessarily are on it, you know, once a month.
So Arcata is a chunky town?
Yeah.
A joyously chunky town.
And a little wry at times.
Yeah.
I did want to, because I know that your listeners are probably also interested in our McKinley statue, so I just thought I should give you a quick update. The obviously the council has voted to relocate the statue And we are in the process of working through the environmental review of that. But simultaneously, we have had citizens pull a ballot initiative. They have qualified to circulate that ballot, and they're gathering signatures right now. They need, I think it's 891 qualifying signatures. Right now, they're in the process of gathering those, and if they are successful, then that will head. They're trying to gather them in time to make the November ballot. So that'll be
to
in
do
place.
What?
So the ballot initiative would be to retain the statue on the plaza.
Oh, to keep it as is.
Yeah. So to override the council's decision to relocate, but to actually retain the
has
statue.
Has that happened often where the citizenry has trumped the city council with an action?
It
seems really rare.
It's pretty rare in history. We have had votes that actually, you know, the council voted to put in fluoride many, many years ago. We have had that come back with a ballot initiative. That ballot initiative failed, so the fluoride stayed with the council's initial decision. I mean, that decision was 30, 40 years ago now. So, but it's rare.
Don't tell me it was that long ago.
Yeah.
That's not
We're
right.
seasoned, right? Yeah. Isn't that what we were called this morning? Seasoned.
So that'll be interesting. Now, are you going to delay doing anything until that ballot may qualify?
We'll just keep the processes concurrent, and I suspect we'll have a decision that works.
Thanks for coming by. See you everybody tomorrow.